Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us here today at Freedomizer Radio. Truth Train will not be with us today. Lisa's at a convention in California, so she won't be able to be here with us today. Just one quick announcement. I wanted to let you know that Proof Negative is devoting the first hour on Tuesdays of his show, and he wants to hear from as many school districts as possible discussing their plans to put an end to Common Core, or even from those in a state that have already denied endorsement. He wants to have guests from all over, everywhere in the USA, and would love to have anyone come on the show and discuss Common Core on our nationwide radio show. Please contact Proof Negative at proof@freedomizerradio.com via email or on Facebook under Proof Negative. That would be most appreciated. And then join him on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time to discuss this important issue. So thank you all for tuning in, and we'll play something a little around the subject there and talk about homeschooling. So have a great day. So we're going to come back live. We have a caller on hold who has brought up a very interesting aspect of public education and homeschooling. I'm going to bring my lovely co-host, Ms. Cookie Zinda, live here at Freedomizer Radio. Hi, babe. How are you?
Very good. And how are you?
Excellent. Excellent. The conversation is spirited today. I love it.
Yes, he had a lot of interesting questions, didn't he?
Yes, he did. So I know you had your hand up before the break, and I know you probably wanted to get in on this conversation. So why don't we start our show today with your comments about the previous conversation, and then we'll bring our guest caller back in.
Okay. Actually, I put my hand up quite a way before that, but what I was calling about is that I homeschooled my children over 30 years ago. Now, I know 30 years ago is a long time ago, but it was when nobody did homeschooling back then, and yet at the same time, I did homeschooling, and I found that there was an avenue of a lot of individuals out there that started to do homeschooling where we connected. And back then, the computer was just coming in like Pac-Man and different things like that. But here's what happened to me. My children went to school in a schoolhouse that had approximately 20 kids in first and second grade. They had one teacher. In third and fourth grade, they had one teacher. And in fifth and sixth, they had one teacher. It was a very small school. And maybe 60 kids at most. And one of the teachers was actually the principal, and that's how small the school was. Now, for me, I was raised in the Chicagoland area in a big school system with probably, 500 to 600 kids in each class. And, you know, in each, let's say if you were in sixth grade, there was 500 or 600 kids, you know, and it was a really different type of school system because it was very overcrowded, a lot of teachers, a lot of things going on, different things like that. But when I moved up to Wasaki, which is a town of only 500 people, I sent my kids to school, and it would take them an hour to go on the bus to get there and an hour to get back. So it took 2 hours out of their lives. And then when they would go to school, they would learn different things, and of course there was different kids there, and they enjoyed it. But when they started to go to junior high, they hated it. They just hated it because, for example, there was a lot of other children from other areas that was coming in from a 50-mile radius, And some of the children were bullies, and some of them were not so nice, and there was other things that were going on. And because the teachers didn't know them, whereas in the small room, the first and second grade teacher knew all the kids, and second grade teacher, or the, you know, the third and fourth grade teacher knew all the kids, the fifth and sixth grade teacher knew all the kids. There was only three teachers. So they would see the kids coming up and their families, and they really got to know them on a one-to-one basis and different things. But the kids really didn't like it. So they approached me and said, can we take homeschooling? Did you ever hear about homeschooling? And I said, no. And so they told me all about it. And, of course, back then I did muscle testing, so I muscle tested, and it came up as a really great idea. And the reason we did it is because any time I wanted to take the kids out of school or take them on a field trip or take them on a vacation, or we had an important visitor come in from out of town, the school frowned upon it, and they said that every time a child was missing from school, they lost $8 a day. And since I had three children, that would be $18 a day. And my comment is, well, when they're in school, you've got them from, let's say, 8:30 till about 3 o'clock. And you know what? I don't feel they're learning anything. I mean, they've already learned their writing, their arithmetic, their science and history and all these things. And now they want to learn important things. They said the stuff that you're teaching them in school is so boring and it's not any good for them, and they want to learn things. And so the school said, well, you know, if you're going to be taking them on these field trips to the Field Museum in Chicago and different places and do these things, then you'd be best to just take them out of school. And so I said, okay, fine. And what I found back then is that I found a telephone number of a company that you could order books from, and I think it cost me about $8 a month for each child, and they would send me these books, and the children would do their work, and then we would send them in, and they would grade them, and then if there was a problem, they would communicate with us, kind of like having a coach. And so we started out working that way. But the thing is, what I found is that by homeschooling them, we were out in the county about 10 miles from town, and I also had two grandmothers that lived with us. So in our home, we had seven people all together. But what was interesting, the kids wanted to learn things. They wanted to learn how to cut out coupons and go shopping, and how to balance a checkbook, and how to cook, and how to bake, and how to organic garden, and how to clean house, and how to do laundry. And we did have a lot of assignments that came through the mail, like I said. And when I would be making dinner or doing something, the grandmas would sit down and read with them and study with them and help them with their work, their homework. And they got a one-to-one basis with the elderly people. And when they were home, they also had to learn to open doors and put their arm out for their grandmothers and help them walk. And they had to learn all kinds of proper etiquette stuff. And it was amazing. And then the stuff I didn't know, I had friends out there, because we're in such a small town of 500 people. A lot of the friends from the religious organization that I was affiliated with, some of them didn't have children. Some of them couldn't find work. Some of them couldn't find jobs. Some of them were school teachers. Some were highly educated. So we decided that we'd ask them for help. And so what they did is they would come over, and one taught the kids all how to use a computer. Another one taught them how to do reflexology and muscle testing and all kinds of stuff. Another one came over and taught them about the sciences. And another one was great at basketball, so taught them all how to play basketball and different games. And my husband then decided to teach them all how to change the oil on the car and change a flat tire, and how, if you had a problem, what you could do about it. And my daughter had to learn, as well as the boys. There was no discrepancy between male and female, so my boys always had to learn how to work in the kitchen as much as folding laundry and doing other things. And our house was spotless. And it was wonderful because the kids were always learning something. We always had people dropping by wanting to check on us and see what was going on. And they couldn't believe how much they had excelled and how good they were. And, yes, they had to throw their test back and they would be graded. And, yes, we did go to the school systems and they would periodically, because the government wanted to make sure I was doing my job, they would periodically have to go to the school system, take tests, and they were far advanced. And yet at the same time, they learned all kinds of things, but they went into the areas and the fields that they wanted to. And then during the summer months, my husband was a contractor, so they had to learn construction work, how to build houses, how to pour cement, how he was a bricklayer too, and how to put on roofs. They also had to learn how to do all kinds of stuff. When they got their first jobs, they worked in the woods by peeling popple and working out in the woods. After that, they learned, they became, at 16 years old, they started being a, what do you call it, when you work construction, you're like with the wheelbarrows of concrete to the bricklayers and doing different things. And they got paid really good. I mean, some of the projects they worked on at 16 years old, they were building high schools and got paid $20 an hour during the summer months. So then they saved up their money for other lessons and other things they wanted to do. And I taught them like how to downhill ski and to ice skate and to do all kinds of things. And these kids were very, very multifaceted. And yet their friends from the religious organization always came over on the weekends and spend the whole weekends. And we'd go places and do things and, you know, visit museums. And because then we had the time to do the things we wanted to do. Plus, the grandmas were all involved to the point where it kept them active and they loved what they were doing. And each one would take a child and worked with them. Now, one of my children fell off a roof and broke his, shattered his hip. And at 16 years old, he was in a body cast from his ankles all the way up to the bottom of his rib cage, and they actually had a bar that was about 2 feet in diameter between his knees, and he had to be in that body cast for about 2 months. And so the school did come to our house, noticed it, and they said because I was an American citizen, I actually could have a private school teacher paid for by the school system to come in and work with him whilst he was laid up in bed so that I could continue working with the other two children and doing my job with the grandmas in the house and, you know, grocery shopping and doing everything else that had to be done. And it was very nice. She was wonderful. She came on a one-to-one basis. And what did the kids learn? They learned Spanish. They learned computer skills. They learned everything. And anything I wasn't able to do, I'd find somebody that could do it. And then we did a lot of bartering and things that we could happen. Now, my daughter is 41 and has 2 bachelor's degrees. My son is like 39, and you've met him on the conference call. He is a naturopathic doctor and does stuff through microscopes and you know, is a herbalist, and he does acupuncture and acupressure, and he's very, very gifted. And the other one loves construction, builds houses, remodels houses. He's a master mechanic. He loves working on foreign cars, and he can take anything apart and put it back together. And if I just ask him, you know, I want to put a ceiling fan in this room here, and his comment is, let me think about it and figure out a way to do it. And I said, well, I talked about 5 other people, and they said it can't be done. He goes, Mom, everything can be done. So he always figures things out, and it works, and they're perfectionists. Besides, everything is the way it's supposed to be. And I'm not just bragging about them, but I just feel because I put a lot into them, and they were able to go freely with their stuff. So now today, there's charter schools out there that are the groups of people that get together, and they might have 10 or 20 kids, and all of them as parents come in and they might meet at a certain place or whatever, and they all, you know, have, let's say one might teach history, one might teach science, one might teach a foreign language, doing different things, and, you know how they work out the charter schools and getting grants and payments. I don't really know all of that today. I've got friends that are involved in it, but because my kids are already grown, I guess I don't think about it. But to me, homeschooling was the best way to go, because what they were learning in school in their junior highs and high school grades was how to cheat, how to lie, how to get involved in stuff they didn't want to get involved in, how there was a lot of prejudices that were coming up. And, you know, when the kids are younger, that stuff wasn't around. It's the older kids that seem like to know how to smoke and drink and do all kinds of things. And so my kids just didn't want to be a part of that group or society. Do they drink or smoke, or did they ever experience these things later on in life? Yeah, I'm sure they did, but, you know, after they got to a little bit of a taste of it, they didn't like it. For example, they were never really, maybe once every couple months they went to a McDonald's, and I know when they left home at 18 or 20 years old, some of them started going to fast food restaurants, and then after a while a lot of them got sick and didn't feel good, and they realized. So most of them are on raw foods, and I raised my kids on the Dr. Feingold diet, which is raw fruits, raw vegetables. We, you know, didn't drink pop. We didn't do a lot of things, and it wasn't because I was trying to be strict. It was because they felt healthier. I liked the organic garden. It kept the grandmas healthy, and yet, you know, I did muscle testing. And the more I found out about herbology and collecting herbs in the woods, we'd take for walks in the woods and collect wintergreen and different sweet fern leaves for making tea and mushrooms, because I learned what mushrooms to pick and what mushrooms not to pick. And we did canning and we did all kinds of stuff. So my kids have a wide range. And as they've grown up, it's amazing, you know, how they know how to do so much, and even their mates will say, man, did you teach my husband well, or did you teach my, I can't believe all the stuff he knows and all the stuff he's able to do. And, you know, I think a lot of guys, when they go in the military, they might learn cleanliness and neat and how to make their beds and do all these things, but I think we can start all these things in younger age groups and teaching them to have pride and self-esteem and determine, you know. And, I mean, they read stories and they had to write book reports and they had to write articles on what their favorite stuff was to do, and they had to give book reports, you know, and we'd have people over in the neighborhood, and they'd have to sit there and do a book report in front of the person and explain it to them and tell them. They had their friends over on the weekends, and they would make up plays, and they would perform, and they would sing, and they would dance, and sit around the campfires. And, you know, their friends loved coming to our house because there was always activity, and there was always people there to observe and watch what they were doing, and whatever we were making, we just involved the kids in everything. So, I mean, it was so beneficial even for me to have the grandmas there, because they were so supportive. And, you know, the three of us would sit there and, you know, watch them make cookies or something and give them ideas and tips and ideas, you know. So I'm just saying homeschooling to me was wonderful, and if you ask my kids, they'll tell you that was the best way to be raised, especially when it came to the later grades. Now, I'm dyslexic and ADD, and like I said, I didn't learn to read to be 28, but it didn't seem to hamper the kids in any way. And if there's a will, there's a way. If you have gifts, then you share them, and what you're not able to do as parents, then you can make it a matter of prayer and call in people to help you to, you know, or find guidance or find someone to barter with to be able to do the things that we did. And like I said, I guess I, you know, when Brother Gregory brought it up today, I was thinking, man, to me that, I wish I could have gone to homeschooling as a child. Maybe I would have learned to read by sight, I mean by phonics instead of sight, and passed on from one grade to another, and then maybe somebody would have noticed that I was dyslexic. And maybe I would have been able to learn to read earlier, but hindsight is, you know, there, and past is in the past. To be honest with you, I just thought I'd put out the positives of homeschooling instead of the negatives, you know.
Well, I think you've done a great job, Cookie, and you've done a great job of explaining. I'm really disappointed, actually, that we've kind of lost our caller. I think he got frustrated with us. Maybe he just didn't want to wait or had to go somewhere else. But he brought up so many interesting aspects of homeschooling and the differences between that. You know, I have my own little personal experiences. Sit here just a second. Loka? Loka is 5 years old, and she got a little prize when she was away on her Arts Academy trip for 2 weeks up in the mountains with her parents. And it was just kind of a little project. It was actually a little old for her because she's only 5 years old. This has little rub-on designs. There's little glue-type stencil-looking patterns that are on this plastic film, and you have to rub, get to cut out the pieces, place them on your object. You have to take the backing paper off and rub it down and then add glitter to it. But here's, I just want to read the instructions, and I want to tell you what happened. Make sure the surface you're decorating is clean and dry. Cut out the selected image or letters from the glue sheets with the backing sheet attached. I got about that far, and I said to myself, she's only 5 years old. There might be some things in this that she doesn't understand. So I stopped and I explained to Wilka. I said, if there is a word or a phrase that you don't understand, I want you to stop me and say, Mimi, can you tell me what that means? What kind of school teacher can do that for 30 children?
Miss Cat
can do that. Miss Cat does that for lots of children, doesn't she? You did lots of cool projects up in the mountains?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you did. And what kind of projects did you do up in the mountains?
Well, I did a thing where I got a set of clay, and I put a towel in there. And I flipped it over, and I did my design.
What did you make?
I made this thing. It holds flowers, and it hangs up in your room.
Ooh, it's beautiful, too. What color is it?
Pink. Light pink.
Light pink. It's lovely. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. You want to go finish playing and come back and see me later?
No, I want to stay.
Okay. Loki has a mind of her own. She stopped on things as I was reading. She wanted to know what image meant. She needed to know what transfer meant. She needed to know what expose meant. This is not reading material for a 5-year-old. But Loka was exposed to more depth in her understanding in just by reading directions for a project. Now, these are things that you don't have to homeschool your children to be able to do. Our topic today was about things that we can do to empower ourselves. And one of them, we were going to bring up various muscle testing type things and what opportunities we can use in our lives to to use those tools. But this little conversation that was brought up about homeschooling, I think the gentleman's particular issue had more to do with he was in a very small private school. One of the things that really impressed me about what you said, Cookie, is the children's need to experience life as a whole. They're interacting with their grandparents, like you said, reaching out to, you know, steady grandma or open the door for her, all the way down to little brother needs help reaching up to wash his hands. So they get a better range of social experience, being in a whole and living family as opposed to being separated into a group of 35-year-olds. It's a different experience, and I think that this cramming of lots of children of the same age into various classrooms, while in some respects probably has some benefit, I think that they're outweighed by the negative in some respect. So,
and it's not only that, it's individuality. For example, my son that loves to read and study and that's a naturopathic doctor and he works with his computers and, you know, he gets on the kind of stuff that you have, that you like to do, Cheryl, too, and all that kind of stuff. But he found out when he was about 18 years old, he hated construction. He didn't want to be anything in a part. He hated painting. He hated remodeling. He hated this. He hated that. Whereas my other son loved it. He loved remodeling. He loved building. He loved using his hands. Now, he hated to read, and I'm sure he probably picked up maybe some of my reading problems, because he had a more difficult time with reading and writing, but he was very smart, very intelligent, and like I said, he could talk to a person about how to take apart an engine on a car. He would figure it out, know how to use all the tools, and build it. And even by 20 years old, he had people in town. I remember one lawyer had a BMW, brought it out to the house, asked him if he could work on it because he took it to 3 or 4 different dealerships and nobody seemed to know how to work on it, and asked him if he could fix it, and he did. And he loved working on foreign cars. It was so intricate for him that he loved Audis, he loved working on Jettas, he loved working on all these kind of things, and even to this day, he can take anything apart, put it back together. He can rewire a house he's a master electrician, actually. He's a journeyman, and he can rewire a whole house and especially put in these sound systems and computers and all this technology, and he can rewire a whole car. He loves that kind of stuff with his hands, and yet, you know, he never cracks a book. It's just amazing what he does, because he knows how to muscle test, he checks things out, he uses different abilities, but they're two separate different boys. And you know, the one, when he has a problem with his car, gives it to the other one to fix. And the other one, it's amazing when his back goes out or something, even though he knows how to do massage and everything like that, he trusts his brother. His judgment when it comes to resetting his back or relining him or recorrecting him or doing whatever. And it's amazing, because you get the kids that have abilities to go in the direction that they're gifted at, and then they can flourish, and also it brings out their passion and their self-esteem.
Well, when you get an opportunity being at home with children and having children that have different interests, of nurturing those interests. I have one granddaughter, she's 10, and she loves everything art and drawing and anything that has to do with creativity. And when I come and visit, that's what she asked me to do. Mimi, will you come and draw with me? And we just sit and draw and color pictures together. And we get to explore some of her creativity. With Lilka, you know, her parents came home from a two-week trip up in the mountains this afternoon. They were exhausted from a really long week and from the trip down. Then they had to unload the car and, you know, prep something for lunch. So while all of that was going on, Lilka showed me her little project and asked if we could do it together. So I got to spend quality time that Lilka would not normally get to have at that particular time today, because we were all here. We were all in the same house. It was like we were at a party, like a family get together. And
that's what grandparents are all about. You know, it's so wonderful to have grandparents that will take the time out with the grandchildren and give them that one-to-one attention, answering the questions, like the simple questions, because you're more patient. The grandparents were so patient with the kids, and they taught them how to play games. And, you know, let's say if the kids were playing a game together, they would teach them sportsmanship and, no, you can't cheat. No, that isn't right to do that. And it's only fair to let this person have their turn. And, you know, it was more than just, it was teaching practical things to the younger generation to teach them how to fit into society and families. And we didn't have relatives around us because my relatives all lived in Illinois. So we adopted relatives in the area. And people that didn't have any kids, or their kids were all grown and they were all alone and they were older, and the grandmas would attract the older generation. And so if they baked cookies, then they would take them cookies, and then they'd go and sing a song to them and share with them what they were learning, and they would tell them their stories and where they had been and what they had done in their lifetime. And like I said, they learned so much.
Exactly. Well, you know what? We're at the bottom of the hour, and we have to take a break. And we do have a caller, but in light of what happened the last time I took a caller before the break, I'm going to wait and take that caller after we get back. So thank you, everyone, for listening to CMIZer Radio, and thank you, Cookie, for sharing. I'm really anxious to continue this conversation. So we'll be back after this short commercial break. And also, too, I'm going to do this one a little differently as well. So hang in there.
Hi, folks. Joanne Moretti here, inviting you to tune in at 6 p.m. Eastern, that's 3 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Thursday, for Liberty Underground and Moretti Report, the best 6 o'clock news on the web. Please join me, as well as my great co-host JoJo Norton and our chat moderators Lynn and Anna, as we bring you the latest news, current events, analysis, and an occasional featured guest. That's 6 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday, right here on Freedomizer Radio.
I think you would really enjoy Joanne Moretti's show. If you're into the news and what's going on up front and pulling all the news together, she does an absolutely wonderful job. She has a wonderful team that pops their links and stuff in the chat room here at freedomizerradio.com, and I'm sure you'd find it very stimulating. They have just a wonderful bursting with energy chat room during that show, so I hope you'll tune in.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Proof Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day, and I'd say that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
That's the big boss man here at Freedomizer Radio, the guy that keeps it all together for us and gives us a voice.
Rob Nowen Live is a show exposing the fallacy of the right-left paradigm while promoting liberty and freedom. A plethora of guests will challenge the establishment, mainstream media, the New World Order, and hopefully you. Listen to Rob Nowen Live Sundays between 3 and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network.
Rob's one of our newer hosts here at Freedomizer Radio, so I hope you'll give him an opportunity to catch your ear.
Join me, Valerie Ann, on the Truth Exposition Show at Freedomizer Radio in exposing the truth about FEMA camps, drone surveillance, martial law, the New World Order, our threatened freedoms and civil liberties, and for weekly news and current events. Mainstream media continues with its lies and deceit to fulfill the agenda of the New World Order. So please join me in exposing the truth, along with the lies and the deceptions that are being fed to the American people. The people of the United States have a voice, and your voice will be heard through Freedomizer Radio.
Valerie Ann is rather new to Freedomizer Radio. She's been co-hosting with Proof Negative, and I believe that's been on, Mondays. Not Mondays. I believe it is Mondays. And she has her first real live, her own, very own show tonight at 7:30 Pacific Time, so I hope you'll join her there. Check out our calendar. Under FR Tour at freedomizerradio.com, and you'll find our calendar and also our archive there. So we hope that you'll join us there and find out something about some of these new shows that we've got going on. The caller, I'd like to make your mic live. Caller from 646.
Hi, my name is Sarah. And I want to say something first. I'm just going to ask you to not put me on mute after you hear it, because I really do have some other things I want to say, but I want to ask Cookie if she'll be my mother in my next lifetime.
Yes, I'd be glad to.
Wow. You know, I listen to Freedomizer Radio really often, and I feel like it's really become a part of my life. In fact, I was just thinking, I kind of wish Proof Negative, the owner of the station, was here tonight because his wife is a kindergarten teacher, but also because it's really such a part of my life. And I don't want to, you know, minimize any of the other shows, but I've got to tell you, just because of my own work and life history and interest, this is one of the most fabulous things I've ever heard on Freedomizer Radio. And you know, Cookie, I've called before when you're on, but now I really know why. I have always had such a really good feeling for you that I wasn't aware. I guess maybe I missed some of the shows where you talked about this before. You know, obviously I did, but wow. If I were a better writer, I would write a book about you starting tonight.
Well, thank you. But, you know, it's so interesting how our life course goes. For example, in 1980 or so, I got sick and I didn't feel good, and I got into herbology and learning to muscle test. And that took an interesting curve, but, you know, I started learning about alternative therapy back then, and at school they wanted to force the kids to take fluoride tablets. And I didn't know what fluoride tablets were, so I did some research on it. And here I found out that it was rat poison and that it wasn't good for the kids. And yet the school was bragging about how wonderful it was going to be to give these fluoride tablets to all these kids and they were going to do like a 30-day or a 60-day or a 90-day supply for free and blah, 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 you know, and I was really upset about it, and I went to the school and told them I do not want my children taking fluoride tablets that because it's rat poison, I didn't want to be involved in it. And their comment is, what are you talking about? So I shared with them this article that was in the newspaper, how it definitely prevented tooth decay, but it killed you, that it caused arthritis and all kinds of problems, and that it was actually, or it's two different types of fluoride, a fluoride that came from the minerals of the ground, which was good for us, and a fluoride that was made by chemicals that was horrible for us. And so I told the teachers about it, and they said, well, you know, this is mandatory. You have to do this. And my comment is, no, I don't. These are my children. And if you make my children do this, then I'm going to sign a contract saying that I objected to it. And if something should happen to my children in the future and they come down with arthritis or they become sick, then I'm going to come back and sue you. And so they're coming. And, of course, you know, being from the Chicagoland area, everybody's so happy. So, you know, I learned that a long time ago. But, you know, so they took it to the board. And they had a discussion about it, and they started doing their own research on it. And the next thing I know, I get a notice in the mail that they discontinued the program. They decided not to go with it, and they told the government not to give us any tablets and that it wasn't a good idea. They changed their mind on the whole issue. Well, that made me feel really good because it was like, man, you know, all these kids then, they would have been taking these fluoride tablets for 90 days or something like that, and you know, to me, it was a win-win situation, you know. But there was a lot of things that they would want the kids to do, and I just couldn't see with my mind the way it was whether it would be beneficial or not. And like I said, I taught the kids how to muscle test. They would muscle test to see what video they should watch or not watch. And since I didn't read really well, to pick up a video and read the whole back, it would take me forever in a video store. So I would just muscle test down the aisle to figure out which movie would be good for them. And then I would put it in their hand, and I'd muscle test them in the store, and I'd say, this one looks good. Let's take it home and watch it. And it would be an excellent movie.
I bet they loved it. I bet they, I can just see you say, I bet they loved it, right?
They loved it. And when they rode on the bus, if there was a bully on the bus that wanted to beat them up, they learned how to steal their energy, how to block it, because I learned taught them Tai Chi and different things like that and how to use their hands, like when you do karate, how you take the energy off a person or put it on, and they learned to do these things, and then the other kids would be in awe, and they'd drop their jaw, and they'd go, what are you doing? And then he would show them, and, you know, kids 2-3 times their age would be picking on him because they'd want their seat on the bus. The only reason they wanted to have their seat on the bus was to be a bully. And see, they rode an hour to school, and the kids on the bus were anywhere from kindergarten all the way up to high school. So you had a large variety of kids on the bus. And, you know, when you get older kids with younger kids on a bus, you got a problem. And when you got a teacher that's trying to drive into town and it's a blizzard out or...
Oh, I did that. Oh, yeah. I actually did that. Yes, you're right. That's right.
Coming up and down roads and different things like that. So the thing is, you know, the bus drivers had to pay attention to what they're doing because not only deer jumping out or hunting season where they could get shot, you know. So in our school systems, they closed the schools down for 10 days during deer hunting season so the kids wouldn't get killed standing out at the end of their driveways going to school, you know. So it was a totally different way of life, but the kids learned so much. Just like I said, you know, the grandmas taught them how to crochet and sew. I didn't have time to teach them to sew and crochet. I was doing other things, you know. And
yeah.
As a parent, we are so busy trying to make a living, don't have time for the little things. And so even though we only had one vehicle and I was at home, I had a 3,000 square feet house to clean. I had 2 acres to mow. I had animals. I had you know, to chop firewood, and I had all kinds of stuff that had to be going on. But at the same time, I give the kids an assignment. I'm going to go, and Grandma and I are going to study about biology today. And I'd go, great. And then when you get done with that, let me know what you learned. And so then they'd come back and tell me all what they learned. And the grandmas loved it because they felt like, you know, they might have been in their 60s and 70s at the time. But the point is, they felt like they were giving as much as they were getting. And, you know,
yes,
it was awesome because, you know, they could say, could you run and get me a glass of water, hon? And the kids would go, sure, Grandma. And they'd run and get it and bring it back. And then they'd say, okay, now you sit down here and read me that story that we've been wanting to read here. You know what I mean? And,
yes, I
and
do.
I'm not.
Isn't it interesting, you know, you talked about, you know, the biology, talking about this. Isn't it interesting when children are at home, when your day begins with a child, isn't it interesting that you really don't know what's going to come up that day, that how you get into the conversation about biology is a surprise to you as well, but at the same time, life doesn't stop, meaning the doorbell's still ringing, the phone is ringing, there still needs to be food cooked, somebody has spilled something, but even though that's presented to us at some level and dealt with in the, quote, public school systems, in a very, very different way and very ineffective. I think we all know that. But in your experience and my experience, isn't it sort of wonderful that that's the way it happens? There's something, I think, about if you have a child in your life, you know, that actually it's the greatest opportunity that you have for this wonderful day, especially if you're somebody who hates your job and is trying to be your something else, you know, you have a dream and you have this horrible job that you hate. And yet, if you have children in your life, I tell you, because I've worked for many years with a lot of different children, and there is something about working with a child in your life, and in regular society here, you only get to experience that until you think they have to go to school. Like, I grew up in this country thinking that it was against the law to not go to either a public school or a private, you know, parochial school or a Jewish school of some kind. It was against the law. And I didn't know that you could continue what was happening in terms of learning. Because
right.
If you,
and here's the thing is, what some of the things that bothered me when my kids went to school is they would have Teacher's Day or Parents' Day, and I would be so excited because I wanted to come and hear what my children were learning and what they were excelling in and what they were doing good at. And I couldn't wait to meet their teacher. And I'd get to school and I'd try to keep an open mind because I'd hear from the kids that the teacher was boring, she never listened, you know, that she favored certain kids in the classroom and they really didn't. They weren't really learning anything. And I say, well, you know, they've got you all day long, that you've got to be learning something here. And so the thing is, I would go to school, couldn't wait to meet the teacher because I figured it was my kids that were the ones that were having the problem. And I'd get to school, and what the teacher would tell me is all the things that they didn't like about my kids instead of all the things that they did like about my kids. And my comment was to them is, you know, I love my kids and I know what their good qualities are and their bad qualities are. But the thing is, tell me about my kids, what you like about them, where they're excelling in, what they're learning and what they're doing. And the teacher really couldn't tell me anything. And they say, well, we're having a problem with your son, Dane, and I'll use him as an example. And she said, you know, it's like I am teaching a course and he's not paying attention. He's drawing. He's drawing on paper and he's a fantastic artist. But the thing is, he's not paying attention. And the thing is, then when I would catch him not paying attention, I'd say to him, Dane, did you hear anything that I said? And he'd say, yes. And then I'd say to him, okay, let me ask you this question. And he would answer. And she said he was always correct. I don't know how he could be drawing and doing these things and still pay attention to me. And I said, well, he said that what you're talking about is so boring that it's very easy for him to comprehend what you're talking about. And because he's so bored, he's
exactly.
Pictures. And I said, do you have any of these pictures that he was drawing? And so she brought them out, and I said, these are beautiful. And she goes, yes, he's an excellent artist, but he's not coming to school to be an artist. He's coming to school to learn. And I said, but it sounds like he's not learning. You've got him all day long, and you're not stimulating his interest. I mean, you know, I know he's got a lot of subjects that he's very interested in, and it just doesn't seem like you're stimulating. Well, we don't have time for that, and blah, 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 and they would make all these excuses, and I would go away from school so sad, like, you know what? You really don't care about my kids. You're only interested in a paycheck, and you're more interested that you're missing $8 a day. And you know what? I have a problem with this. You know, I'm having a real problem with this because I wanted kids to come home from school if they had homework that they loved to get to the kitchen table and couldn't wait to do their homework and then, you know, bring their papers home and show me all the A's and B's and C's. And most of them did come home most of the times with A's, B's, and C's, but the teacher would say on the report cards, didn't seem to put a lot of effort into it, you know, very quiet, even though they're very sociable and they're kind and loving to other people, you know, kind of argumentative when we would do certain things. And I'd say, well, it's because they said that they would come up with ideas and suggestions, and you would not even listen to the ideas and suggestions and to make something simpler or easier or more exciting. And they said, well, we have our plans. We have things planned out. This is the way it is. And we don't know if some kids are higher IQ'd or lower IQ'd or where they're at, so we have to keep it even steel. Well, then the kids that can't catch up are having a problem. The kids that are way excelling are bored. I mean, there's got to be some kind of balance there. And like I said, homeschooling worked for us. But I definitely, you know, I was glad that I sent them through kindergarten through sixth grade so that they've got the basics. And so then they could excel from there. Because, you know, like I said, I never even got the basics when I went to school. So, you know, I learned from them as much as they learned from me.
Yeah, I was, you know, I'm thinking as you're talking, there's a story that I tell whenever a topic related comes up to this, but I'm realizing now this is probably the reason why I'm here. And I was hit in the first grade. I went to a Catholic school. I was in the first grade, and it was very early in the beginning of the year, but I was hit with one of those. They had these long wooden sticks with a black rubber tip on it. It was their pointer, the nuns did. These were Dominican nuns, and I was hit for reading ahead in the reader. Now, I was not reading ahead. It was the reader was so, I could read everything in it. I was so disappointed that this was the reader, because I had really looked forward to the first grade after kindergarten, because I was told it was not going to be boring. But here's the part of it, is that the reason I wasn't reading ahead, but, you know, it was so strict that you really were, they watched you, you couldn't, like, get your any of your other books out. You had this one reader on the desk. And next thing I knew, I was hit, and she said, this is what she said to me, don't you ever let me find you reading ahead in the reader. Now, the reason I don't, this is really why I'm here, is because while I was reading, flipping through, bored, and not reading ahead, believe me, there was nothing to read it. It was all so simple and stupid. But the reason why I was doing that was because she was torturing, literally, and abusing some other friend, little, you know, person in the classroom who didn't know it, or I was so confused by this. Really confused, and it made a huge impression, so that I stayed aware of not just my own passion for learning, which I still have, but why was it, this is the question, why was it that they were being so mean and actually hurt the children who, you know, everybody was different, you know, I mean, come on, everybody has different interests. So that's why I'm here. I want to say something else, too, about self-esteem, which you had talked about earlier in the show, because, you know, and it's interesting that you are someone who does who practices things that could be, I'm not saying I do, but could be put like in a new age category, you know, but, and that's always sort of equated, not by any new people who do that, but by the media, it's equated with a sort of airheadedness, you know, and yet this is what you're talking about. I mean, you are like, right, the information that you, unbelievable. So you're a wealth of information, so that's all nonsense. But here's what I'm saying is that what New Age sort of theology leaves out, I have always said, and why I never really could ever go for it all the way as I explored, as sort of as my spiritual foundation, is this. Because it always leaves out other doing for others. And I just noticed, and I really believe, and maybe I should say no, that real self-esteem doesn't come from sitting somewhere and saying, I am good, I am wonderful. Not that we shouldn't say that, but I'm saying I really think that you can even bypass that. Or if you really are, you have a child, so let's say, and you see that for what it is as an opportunity to teach them everything that you know. And if you don't know what it is that they need to know, you're so about making them have what they want because you love them so, and you love knowledge that you, like you said, you go, there's the grandparents. There are other people who you can, you know, say, would you like, people who have knowledge love to teach it. They will always come and teach that child if that's not your area of expertise. That particular area of expertise, and that's what gives you self-esteem. It's from giving to somebody else. It's from teaching, and to not say, oh, it's about money, a piece of paper. It's not, and that's where the information comes. I think in quote New Age, where we talk about maybe money in different ways, or now that this is happening, you know, in this country and in the world with economics and politics, that we really are forced, as we were, you know, and we do prepper shows about that. Take a look at that. The paper money is just a symbol for an exchange of energy. So if we're not getting paper money, you know, if we're teaching a certain thing that we know, it's going to come back anyway. And there's nothing non-Christian about that. There's nothing
Christ-like. And, you know, here's the thing is, I was taught Christianity and not evolution, and as a parent, I, when they started sending books about that we're apes and all these other things, I mean, that I really was offended by, and I had to stick up for it. But one thing I did teach my children is that you have rights, and you have a right to stick up for what you believe, and that it was one area that I just really could not comprehend or go there, and I muscle tested for. See, I muscle test for everything. And the reason why is being dyslexic, ADD, or having a problem of not being able to read wasn't that I was stupid or I was an idiot, because I could observe and learn more from observation than I could from anything. But the thing is, when you muscle test, your whole physical body, and this is what Floyd said, and I liked what he said, is our bodies do not like chaos. Our bodies do not like indecision. Our bodies do not like dysfunction. And the reason it doesn't is because it puts stress on the body, because our 100 trillion cells do not, because they're alive and they have memory, they hear everything we think and everything we say and everything we do and everything that is input or output from other individuals around us or experiences. And so our 100 trillion cells like to be able to have harmony, and the way you have harmony is by making a decision. Now, in order to make a decision, you have to have an education, or you have to have the information, or you have to have the ability to be able to read, or you have to have a computer, or you have to have somebody that you can talk to by getting the basic facts. And the problem with that is, because of my situation being ADD and dyslexic and not being able to read, I couldn't do any of these things, but I could muscle test. And so I would muscle test what was a yes or what was a no, and I would base my decision upon my muscle testing, because when you muscle test, you're tapping into the energy field of the universe, and you can call in the creator or the celestial beings, and if that's the guard that you put on your auric field, that I only want the highest and best good for me and my family, what would come into you anytime I made a snap decision, it was based upon my muscle testing, and it always worked for me, and it always worked out for me, and I never had any problem with it. And so the thing is, I would teach the kids that too. So when the kids would come home from school and say, they're teaching us this in school, Mom, why do we have to learn about this history crap, about this and this, and about a revolution, and telling us that we have free will choice and we have this when we really don't, and when they got all these rules and regulations? And the kids would come up with these things. When you, out of the mouth of babes comes the truth. And my one son is a conspiracy theorist. I mean, he just really gets off on to digging into things and looking into things and checking things out and to see if it's really true or not true, and what, how they're trying to pull the wool over our eyes, and who really runs the world. It's the money changers, and you know, what's going on? You know what I mean? And these kids, just, they would evolve going in all different directions, mainly because maybe, and I don't know, and I don't want to put this out there in a negative way, but because I was stupid, I just let them do their thing, go their own way, learn their own stuff, and they seemed to be self-contained individuals that learned how to muscle test too, and they would check things out. And then they would come back to me and say, like my one son, when he, in about 1990, he said, Mom, can I go to massage therapy school? And I go, they actually do stuff like that? I can't believe it. There's actually a school that teaches this stuff, and what do they use it for? And then he would explain it all to me, and how they actually can massage horses and dogs, and how they, you know, the rich used to be able to afford to do massage, but they found out massage is beneficial for all people, and you can do sportsman's massage, and you can do all these things, and it ties in with the herbology and the making tinctures and making homeopathic medicine, and it gets into all these things, and it's just another extension of what you've been teaching us, Mom. And can I go to massage therapy school? Sure, why not? You know what I mean? And it's amazing, because if you let your children go in the direction that they, and that's what children need today. We need schools where the passion of the child is being met, where they want to come to school, they want to learn, they want to thrive, they want to be good at what they want to do, they want to, you know, evolve. And I'm not saying they shouldn't do other things, but, you know, like I said, my daughter now is a single parent with three boys, and she knows how to, you know, take care of her own vehicles and, you know, get oil in and do all kinds of stuff that I would never even begin to know. She takes computers apart. She does websites. She, you know, does all kinds of things. And it's like, man, where do these kids come from?
Well, they came from a good home. And I agree with Sarah. And if I come back into this spot, into this physical realm again, I want you to be my mother. we're at the top of the hour. I have another caller on hold that I'd like to take. I want to say thank you very much to Sarah. We'll check back in with you later. Right now, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll pick up on the phone call. So thank you very much for hanging in there with us, and we'll be right back.
Hey, y'all, this is Ron with Ron's Media Matrix. I would like to invite you to listen to my show every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for our international listeners, that's 1,800 hours to 2,000 hours Greenwich Mean Time, right here on Freedom Out of the Radio. I always interview a broad spectrum of guests, ranging from entrepreneurs to the eclectic. I also like to keep you up to date on the latest breaking news in geopolitics, world events, astronomy, technology, science, and how it relates to the 21st century and an emerging global order. Be sure to visit our website at freedomizerradio.com, take part in our lively chat room, Visit our sponsors or read breaking news articles on our Twitter feed. You can also find out more about the wide variety of shows and hosts at freedomizerradio.com. If you'd like to comment or speak with a guest during the show, just give us a call at 347-324-3704.
This is Debbie.
And I'm Michael, along with CD, the Constitutional Defender Dog. Is mainstream media giving you the real stories, or are they just telling you what they want you to hear?
Join us for Securing Liberty on Freedomizer Radio, Thursday evenings at 11 p.m. Central.
We'll be joined by great guests, discuss interesting and important topics, current events, maybe even a little humor. Be prepared for anything.
It will be 90 minutes of information sure to help you on your quest for truth. So join Securing Liberty at 11 p.m. Central on Freedomizer Radio.
Yes, and I wanted to bring up Michael Weber is doing CD, the Constitutional Defender Dog, CD's Pet Advocate Program on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock Pacific Time, so I hope you'll come and join him there with his co-host, Alex, and sometimes Miss Valerie Ann, Brooklyn Girl. So that's one of our newest shows here on Freedomizer Radio. In fact, I think last week was their first show, so stay tuned for that. We have just had this lovely conversation about and perspectives about homeschool and public school. I wanted to share a little experience that I had. This was about 8 years ago. I must be longer than that. Okay. This has been maybe 12 years ago. I was a photographic artist, I was her assistant, and she volunteered to... Of course, she ended up getting paid. This wasn't a free thing, but she volunteered to be the photographer for the district homeschool association, and they had an association. And what that was is basically various people who homeschooled, they pooled their talents, and they got, like, some direction, I'm sure, from this association, material coordination, et cetera, et cetera. But she was going to do their yearbook. We had a studio that was literally less than 300 square feet, and we had a very small waiting room, maybe 6 or 8 chairs, and we had to kind of pull those out of mothballs because we didn't usually have that many people sitting and waiting at one time. But what we did is we did 500 students in 3 days. And I don't know if you have ever been in a photography studio with children. If you've ever been in Kmart, Walmart, Penny's, or whatever, or some of these other little snippets of businesses like at the mall that do photographs, if you can't, you have to really imagine 500 kids in 3 days.
Wow.
I did not, as the photographer's assistant, I was making sure that the child's description and name and everything matched the paperwork, and we were using film at the time, so it was like this frame and this frame and this frame are this child. So there was not any child management going on from our perspective. I was getting, making the marks on the papers and getting that all organized and bringing them in front of the children or in front of the photographer. The photographer was taking the pictures, and we were basically doing just this math. You have to really take a few minutes to imagine that in this very small, cramped quarters. What I saw was nothing short of completely amazing. Those were the most well-behaved children I have ever seen in my life, ever, in that any kind of situation, let alone that particularly challenging situation. The older ones were helping the younger ones. And it wasn't just the older ones of one family helping the younger ones of their own family. They were helping with young ones of other families. I could only watch what was happening and just sit there in complete amazement. Because if you go to a doctor's office where children have to be amused and entertained or whatever, even in the grocery store where you've got the screaming meanies, we didn't have not a single incident in 500 children. It was the most wonderful experience for us to be able to put this together for that school and for the kids to actually have a yearbook. And it was, I think it was 0 through 8 grade, because there were children in their early teens. So if you think that homeschooling limits your children, I think that maybe, you know, listening to this program again and actually talking to people that do homeschool might just change your mind. I admire you so much, Cookie, for trusting the universe and trusting yourself and trusting your children and your personal experience to be able to provide such a wonderful experience for your own children.
I guess my mother had, there was 11 children in her family, counting her, and because I had aunts and uncles, 10 of them, that all loved me as a child and nurtured me and took care of me. And when I moved up to Waseca, I had no family, and my parents lived 6 hours away. And, you know, it was kind of isolated. So by learning to muscle test, like I said, I could determine on, do I want this person as a friend, or is this person compatible with my children? But it was more than that when we're talking about this stuff now. Like, for example, the kids never learned age discrepancies. Whether you were old or whether you were young, you were just as exciting, because they learned to talk to the elderly as well as the young ones and communicate with them, and they didn't treat old people as being old. They didn't treat little kids as being dumb and stupid. You know, they felt everybody was exciting. And when they went to school, I remember my son coming home from school and saying, "I hate gym class." And I said, "Why? You love to play football with me out in the yard and basketball and ride bikes and do all kinds of things that we do out there, kickball and different things." And he goes, "Yeah, but it's not like it at school." He says, "They want you to be mean to other kids. They want you to be aggressive. They want you to take the game very seriously. You always say, let's play and have fun. Let's play and have all the kids in the neighborhood get together and let's have some fun. That's why all the kids come down here, Mom, because we always have fun. The idea is to have fun, isn't it?" And I'd say, "Well, yeah." And I say, "Well, then tell them you don't want to be a part of their stuff if they're not going to have fun." Because then they teach them, you know, how to be rough and tough and tackle people and hurt people. And my kids just were not made to be mean to other people. And it's not that you can't be in sports and enjoy it, but when you start growing up, there becomes a lot of prejudices and patriotisms and egos get in the way, and everybody wants their child to excel. And some of the parents were worse than the children to watching or absorbing or setting an example. And so the thing is, you know, those are the things that they didn't want to be a part of. And another thing that amazed me and which I see with children today, is that the kids would always bring other kids home with them, or kids in the neighborhood, or kids that were around, and we'd always have a good time, and nobody ever wanted to be left out, so it just seemed like it always we got more and more kids. But when they would decide to do something, my kids would always say, well, let me ask my mom first, and then we'll see if we can do it, and if we can do it, we'll figure out a way to do it, and if we can't figure out a way to do it, maybe she can come up with something. And other kids, when they first came in or come to our house, would say, let's go do this and don't tell your mom. And they'd say, why? And they say, well, we don't want parents with us. And the kids would go, yeah, but you don't understand. My mom comes with us everywhere, and we love my mom coming with us everywhere, because my mom, when she comes everywhere, makes things happen. And when things happen, we have a great time, and then we have no problems. And so we love our mother coming with. And, you know, my kids, honestly, even my son, now that's the one that's 39, we traveled around the country together doing seminars and putting on programs for all different types of people. And a lot of the people were anywhere from the 40s to the 60s, 70s. And he just loved it, being around the adults and learning from the adults and learning about what they were doing. And he's an adult himself, but he loved it. I mean, you know, there was no discrimination of age, or I don't want my parents around, or it's embarrassing that your mother's here or something. There was none of that kind of stuff, because I appreciated them as much as they appreciated me, and I would never humiliate them in front of other people, and they would never humiliate me in front of people. I mean, it was things that we learned, you know, and the way we handled things and the way we did things. And, you know, if there was a child there that was acting up, I'd ask them to step aside and can we have a little talk? And we'd have a little talk, and I'd explain to them why we don't do what we do and what the purpose of it and what we appreciate. And if they didn't agree with it, they could go home. But if they wanted to fit in with the other kids, this is the way we treat other kids and the way we act. And they'd say, okay, you know, no problem.
Yeah, I think that kind of an environment gives kids a more well-rounded social experience. There are so many activities that are available within communities for children to get together and play with children of their own age. There's after school kinds of things like Little League. My oldest son teaches, he's an assistant coach for the Little League team. He's an assistant coach, and he has had assistant coaching positions for things like volleyball and baseball, for different age groups, mostly in high school, because he teaches high school. But he's gotten involved with Little League of late because his little daughter, Lilka, is now old enough to participate and want to play baseball. The kids are involved in dance classes. So there are a lot of, and like you said about being able to go to a museum and to be able to take the entire day during the week when it's not so crowded like it is oftentimes on the weekends when everybody is trying to go, you have those kinds of opportunities. And, you know, one of the other things that kind of came up for me during this conversation is that there are people who are not meant to homeschool. It's not for everybody. On the same line of thinking, there are people that shouldn't have children. So
right.
We are all over the board in our society. The idea is to take these ideas and find your place. If you are in ABC, maybe DEF is a better place for you. Maybe it's a step up for you, whatever that step might be, whether it's
taking the time to read directions that are way over a child's head so that they are exposed to words and meaning, et cetera, that are above and beyond what their quote-unquote age group should be, you know, focusing on. I never wanted to bore my children. I always talked to my kids. Never did talk baby talk to them. I talked to them like they were little people.
Right.
And when you talk to them
like they're real people.
Right. And you can tell when a child, you know, when they lose focus. You can see when somebody loses focus and they don't understand. And also, too, that little prompting with Loka to say, if there's something in here that I'm reading that you don't understand, please stop me and let me know what it is and ask a question because I would really like to teach you that. So, you know, there's all of these different places. That whole idea of wouldn't it be wonderful if you had in your community a grandma that used to be a math teacher, and your child just happens to be having maybe a little trouble.
Yep.
You know, these are opportunities for us to build our communities more solid than they have ever been in our lifetimes. And for you to share your story about, you know, homeschooling it so long ago, it really is, you know, such a wonderful opportunity for us to hear. I want to thank you so much, Cookie, for sharing.
I thought it would be, you know, my life was a little boring, but, you know, I guess it, to me it was just normal. And you know, the thing is, I love to sing and dance, and I sung and danced when I was around my kids. They sung and danced, and it was amazing. They would put on, let's say on Friday night, the kids would get off the school bus. Now, my kids weren't going to school, but the kids would get off at the school bus at our driveway, spend the whole weekend, and then I'd put them back on the school bus on Monday. But, you know, each one of the kids were allowed to have one or two kids over for the weekend, and the kids would come, and they would actually decide to have a dance, and they would put music on their cassette players, and then if the kids didn't know how to dance, we taught them how to dance, and we did line dancing, and we did all kinds of dancing. We had all kinds of music. My kids, I was, my nationality somewhat in when I was growing up was Polish, and I used to polka, and so I taught the kids how to polka.
I mean, you know, back,
you're talking 30-some years ago, okay, some people think polka is stupid, but you know what? The thing is, I never was taught that it was stupid, and so my kids learned how to do all kinds of different dances, you know, square dancing to polka to this to that, and I was a cheerleader, so I taught the kids how to do cheerleading exercises and how to do pom-poms and different things like that, and we would have football games, and then we would do our little thing, and I got to be more of a kid when I was an adult than to be an adult. I mean, you know, I had to be an adult when I was more of a kid, and then when I got to be an adult, I got to be more of a kid, and so did the grandmas. I mean, you know, and like I said, I can remember this as like it was yesterday. We got a videotape on a movie about a dog. I'm trying to remember the name of the movie. It was a Walt Disney movie about it. Oh, Yeller.
Oh, okay.
And the grandmas never had time to see something like that. So they were very excited. And the kids had already seen the movie. And they said, Grandma, before Mom takes the video back to the video store, do you want to see Oh, Yeller? And Grandma goes, yeah, yeah. And so both the grandmas come out and they get all excited. And the kids go, let's make some popcorn. We're going to watch Oh, Yeller with Grandma. And with the grandmas. So we're all sitting down in the living room watching Old Yeller, and we're getting really into the movie, and it was a break time, so everybody could go to the bathroom. We had to stop the movie. And I remember one of the kids saying to the grandmas, Grandma, don't you just love this movie? And she goes, yes, I just love it. And she goes, you want me to tell you what happens? And Grandma goes, no, don't tell me, because then you'll wreck the story. You know, I don't want to know. And one of the other kids goes, oh, please, Grandma, let us just tell you one thing. And Grandma goes, no, no, because if you tell me one thing, It might be the one thing that I don't want to know. And they go, no, no, we promise. We're just only going to tell you one thing. One thing only. Grandma goes, okay, tell me. What is it? The dog dies, Grandma.
Oh.
And
the
it was like...
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's funny.
It's like you just wrecked the movie because now you tell me the dog dies and now I got to watch the rest of the movie and wait for the dog to die. Why did you tell me that? The kids started crying and they go, what was wrong, Grandma? What was wrong, Mom? I just told her that the dog died only because I wanted to prepare her for it. Point of view that it was so dramatic that they wanted to prepare the grandma so she didn't take it so hard.
Poor little thing. Oh, goodness. Well, you know, we've reached the bottom of the hour again, Cookie. This time is just flying by today. So can you hang in there with us for another half an hour?
Sure.
I want to bring Sarah back on and see if she has any other comments, too. So we'll be back after this short commercial message. So hang in there, and we'll see you on the other side.
Fed up with the lies, manipulation, and deceptions of everyone else's opinion? Tired of being ridiculed and conforming to other standards because your standards are based in biblical principles? In truth, there is liberty. Blessings, Freedomizers. Join me, Servant Emmanuel, right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network as I host the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries program every Tuesday and Saturday afternoons, noon Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, for truth according to the Holy Scriptures. With like-minded individuals who are not so heavily minded that they are no earthly good, let us stand together, freedomists, not in their truth, not in our truth, but the truth according to the Word of God. We will have prayer, biblical studies, occasional guests with world news, with issues that are of concern to the body of Christ. Come and fellowship with us as we stand against the coming new world order. Blessings and peace to your home. Sound Doctrine on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, a little slow there today.
Hey folks, Valerie Sergeant Martin here, rebel agitator, Republican renegade, and host of the Valerie Sergeant Martin Show. Twice weekly, I bring you guests who represent the best and brightest of the liberty movement, including best-selling authors, candidates, and legislators, and everyday activists, all patriots actively involved in taking back control of our government, putting power in the hands of the people where it belongs. We also talk economics, finance, international markets, and monetary policy. Anything and everything to do with free markets and capitalism. So friend me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and join me Sundays 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern and Thursdays 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern for the Valerie Sergeant Martin Show. And remember, extremism in defense of liberty is no vice.
Ava Quijada in Reno, what are you doing on Freedomizer Radio on Thursdays 10:30 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and Fridays at 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time?
And I am going to be hosting the Heated Conversation.
Please join us as we talk about UFOs, weather, planets, asteroids, earthquakes, spirituality, HARP, secret societies, and current events. I think we should add that we always have great guests to pack chat room and very interesting conversations. With your occasional quirky way we give the news.
Just remember on Thursdays at 10:30 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and Fridays 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. The Heated Conversation. Oh, and by the way, we have our always fun chat room at freedomizerradio.com. That's freedomizerradio.com. Just click the chat and listen button. See you there.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate it. Our phone number is 347-324-3704, and we would love to have you call in and voice your opinion. I wanted to briefly check in with Sarah. I know you had put your hand up and shared a little bit with the audience. Did you have anything else you wanted to share?
You know, I guess, you know, because we're dealing with time issue, I'm going to ask you once again if you would just say once again where to find this in the archives. That will make it easy for people, because I really want to tell a lot of people about this. So I don't want to talk a lot, because the people I'm going to tell about it hear me talk way too often. But I want to say right here, I'm going to use my time to say, you know, if you listen to this, this completely handles the bullying problem. It really does. It handles the bullying problem. And that I am someone who's really worked with children for most of my life. And this is a wonderful show. Thank you so much for including me.
Oh, you're welcome, Sarah, and thank you so much. You can find the archived program here at freedomizerradio.com. Go to the main page, and under FR Tour, look for Team Free State and today's date, which is the 18th of August. We have a list of probably the last 10 days of archives there on freedomizerradio.com, so join us there, as well as the calendar for the new and upcoming shows. Not every single show will list a special subject or a special guest, but we often have some surprises like today. Today was a very, very special surprise with the comments that we got from Brother Gregory about his views on public school. It's something that he repeats over and over again about forcing your neighbors to support, for instance, public schools, and what kinds of things that we can do to take better control of our lives and move things in the direction that we see is beneficial to everyone. Cookie, I so appreciate the fact that you shared, you know, your own personal experience with homeschooling, the fact that you didn't read until you were 28. How old were your children when you learned to read? When did you start homeschooling?
My children, let me see here, one was born in 70, 73, and 75. And okay. I'm 61 right now, so I was born in like 51. So the thing is, they were probably 8 or 10 years old when I learned to read.
And then at what time did you start homeschooling?
In their sixth grade.
I'm just trying to give people a little bit of a feel here. When you took on what a lot of people find very intimidating, people find homeschooling intimidating, and this is something that I have heard over and over again. I'm afraid I wouldn't be able to. I can't do third grade math. How am I going to be able to teach my child? So
I think I would have been afraid if I would have had to teach them the basics from kindergarten to sixth, because I didn't have, like I said, the basics. But I had an education, and I had learned so many things in my lifetime that, you know, children need to be taught. They need to be taught how to work. They need to be taught how to make a or do corners on sheets. They need to be taught how to run a vacuum cleaner. I mean, normal things. If they're going out in the world, and I've seen kids where they've been taught in school and they got an education, but they have no idea how to fit in society, how to run their own apartment, how to balance their own checkbook, how to go grocery shopping and to determine what's good to eat and what's not good to eat, what is beneficial, what is considered a deal and what's not a deal. you know, different things like that. And it's very, very important. And like I said, doing muscle testing, going back to that, when I talked to Floyd and he talked about our bodies don't like chaos and they don't like this, this is so true. There's even a biblical scripture there that says, make your yes mean yes and your no mean no. So when I would muscle test, if something was a yes, then I would put all my energy into that yes. If it was a no, then I'd put all my energy into that. And sometimes the kids would say to me, well, you're coming up with a no answer, but why? And I'd say, I don't know why. Let me figure it out. And I would make it a matter of prayer, and I'd think about it, and then I'd explain to them why I came up with a no answer. And I'd tell them about my gut feeling. And I'd also tell them, you put up your arm and let's see what your body says. And we'd ask the question, and then I'd have my kids muscle test, and they'd come up with a no too, and they go, okay, and they'd walk away. They just took it as, this is the way we do things. We muscle test to see which direction we should take, whether we should go to the right or the left, and it sure solved a lot of problems and didn't cause a lot of chaos and confusion. And you know, it answered, like if there was an argument with one of the kids over something, we would muscle test it. And whatever the answer came up with, they just took it that that's the way it is. My kids still muscle test for everything, you know, and they make their decisions based upon that. Do they try to do things that they can get away with? Yes. My children now are adults, and they too, like I do, try to figure out to make things work. So, example, let's say you can't afford organic food. So you go to the grocery store and you muscle test what is the best food out there for me, and you get it. And yet, let's say the beef isn't, you don't know, my thing is this beef tender and juicy, and is this going to be healthy for me, and I'll pick it up. Well, then my kids learn that you say prayer over it, and it changes the frequency of the food. So, you know, they learn things like that, and they know things, but do they, as adults, do some crazy, stupid things? Sure. My one son likes to try different types of beers and different things, and he muscle tests for beers, and he prays over his beer, and he says a proclamation so the beer won't affect him as he drinks it. And
oh,
he's proven to... I mean, this is silliness, but he proves to people that, you know, if you drink, somebody says three or four of these beers, you're under the table because it's a real strong brew. He goes, it won't bother me because he puts out a proclamation so that it won't affect his body and won't affect him, and he can drink it, and after four beers, he's just totally normal. Why? Because his belief system, and see, my kids learn this. Like, for example, I would say to him, oh, don't go outside without your shoes on or your coat. You'll catch a cold. And they go, Mom, you know that's a wise tale. And you don't catch a cold. And I go, well, you know, your immune system, if it gets cold, it'll attack your body. But our immune systems are strong, Mom. That's only a belief system. Remember, you told us not to base things on our belief systems unless we feel it's a good belief system. So the thing is, I can go out here, and my kids would get stubborn with me. They'd walk outside barefoot in the middle of winter to go get the mail from the mailbox to prove to me that they were not going to get sick, and they didn't.
Well, you taught your children to think critically.
Put my coat on so I don't catch cold, and the next day I'd come down with a cold, and they go, see, it's your fault, Mom. You put it out there. And they would teach me things, and I'd go, okay, you're right. I'm not going to do that anymore. Or it's so many things that we say, so many things that we do that is, like, handed down from generation to generation, but we really don't think of what we're saying or think of what we're doing. Or, you know, and so I learned a long time ago, if my kids were going from Marinette to Madison, which is a four-hour drive or five-hour drive, instead of saying, please be careful, don't speed, watch out for cops, make sure that you pay attention to the road, don't be playing with the radio, don't get on your cell phones, don't do this. Instead of putting all that out there, I'd say, have a safe and wonderful trip. And they'd go, okay, Mom, that's what we plan to. And I'll call you when I get home. And I'd go, okay. And they'd call me when they got home, and I'd say, how was your trip? Just fine. Everything was great. No problems. Okay. Because if you put out the positive, that's what you get. If you put out the negative, that's what you get, too. So, you know, it's a matter of practicing it and experiencing it. And like the body likes your body and your energy field, and you're a god of your energy field, loves to hear what you want to do and wants a definite yes or a definite no. Make your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Follow through with it. And if it doesn't work for you, change it. If it doesn't work with a yes, then try it with a no. Failure is not failure. Failure is just experiencing different avenues of trying things differently and seeing if they work.
Exactly. How many times did Edison or whoever invented the light bulb, how many times did they fail before they got it right? It's about human persistence in some things. It's not about getting, it's not all about getting right. It's about the journey, getting from A to Z. It's not about each individual step in between, but the entire journey. And I think that some people don't appreciate that journey. One of the things that, you know, doing this little project with Wilka this morning was showed me is that with taking enough time, when I first read the directions to her, the part that stuck in her mind was place the paper under your project, sprinkle the glitter over the adhesive, lift it up, and then turn it upside down and shake the project. Well, that's the part that stuck in her brain. So I had to kind of rearrange her because she went while I was busy, you know, talking on the phone and answering a question for one of our other new hosts here at Freedomizer Radio. She ran off and got all these papers and she'd spread them out all over the floor because the T-shirt we had decided to work with was my size, but I was giving it to her to wear as a nightgown. And so the project didn't lend itself to actually working the way the directions did, but she tried to do it. It was very difficult for her to take this kind of, it was kind of a more of a grown-up project. This is more of a project for a 10-year-old. But to bring it down to her level, we managed to do it only because it was not a big rush. We've been working on this T-shirt now, you know, this afternoon for probably 2 hours. That's a huge project for a 5-year-old.
Exciting. With Grandma.
And it was exciting. It was great. It was exciting for this whole thing. And she got to spell out on the front of the shirt. If it was my shirt, she started out with Lilka, and I was going to add Lilka's Mimi, because if I wore the shirt, I wanted people to know that Lilka did this. And then it evolved into she's going to have the shirt to wear, and Lilka loves Mimi and Mama. And then it was Lilka loves her family, and that's what we put on the shirt. So it evolved. The project got a chance to evolve. She got to pick every single color for every single little image that we put on her T-shirt. She got to express her creativity in a medium that was really a little bit beyond a 5-year-old and just turning her loose. So it was a wonderful experience.
She got to express her emotions. She got to express her emotions on how she loves her mother and sister and you, and you know, you got to express different things, and at the same time, you got to use your creativity in teaching her, and you enjoyed it as much as she did.
Oh, absolutely enjoyed it. I loved that time when my children were that age and before they went to school. I was a single parent when my children began, shortly after my children began school. So I didn't get an opportunity to do the whole homeschooling thing. But I did, I was able to provide almost 2 whole years of my children being in school, which gave them an absolutely incredible
experience within a group setting and in a school, that older children did help the little kids. And it was very family-oriented. It was culture shock for them when they had to go to public school, because they wanted to know, I don't understand, why are they so mean out on the playground? It wasn't like that at the other school. And I had to explain to them that the schools were different, and that the one that they went to first was the way it should be done, and that they should act accordingly in this new environment. Even though those things didn't seem that they were off, that they weren't right, that they didn't fit in, I said, you can make little changes in your interactions with other kids. The conversation was probably, I'm sure, not quite that adult, because they were little, you know, 5 and 6 years old.
But, and, you know, everything learned by the parents. I was thinking about another experience just to share it with you. Is I was from Chicagoland area, so there was all different types of people down there, and that's what I was raised with. And yet I was never taught prejudice by my parents. And so when we moved up to Marinette, basically most of the people in the area are white or Indian or different maybe nationalities, but they didn't really say too much about them. But yet when my kids would get together with them and learn different things from them, they were so excited about learning different things. And even from the congregation that we associated with, we would travel to seminars all over the state of Wisconsin, and they picked up different friends of all different nationalities. And I remember one time, and this is going to sound really stupid to you guys, but I remember one time a lady said to me, oh, Cookie has friends that are black. Why don't you talk to her about that? And they came up to me and they said to me, such and such said you have friends that are black. And I go, no, I don't. And they go, yes, you do. Somebody said that you have quite a few friends that are black. And I go, I don't have any black friends. And I mean, I'm being really sincere. I don't have any black friends. What are you guys talking about? I don't get it. And so some of my friends would come up from Milwaukee or Madison to visit and spend a week or a weekend at our house, and we'd have fun, and we'd go to the congregation. And I remember one lady, it was maybe 6 months later, pulled me aside and said, you lied. And I go, about what? And she goes, your friends. And I go, what are you talking about? And she goes, those people that are sitting with you. I go, yeah, they're my friends from Madison. What about them? And she goes, they're black. And I looked at them, and it was like, oh, my God, they are. I didn't know they were. I mean, it never dawned on me that they were black. I mean, honestly, because they're just different, and they were kinds of people, and who cared? You know what I mean? It didn't matter. And so when I realized that they were black, it was like, I'm sorry. I guess I do have black friends. I wonder what other kind of friends I have that I didn't notice.
I'm sure you have great friends, Cookie, and you are a great friend. You've been a great friend to me, and I've learned so much from
and
my
I just wanted to have grandchildren that are mulatto. So, you know what? I guess my kids weren't prejudiced either, you know?
Exactly.
And I don't think of them as black or white. They're just my grandkids, you know?
Well, and I wish more people thought that way. I wish more of the world was that way. And I think that one of the things that that we really focus on Team Free State, on this program on Saturdays, and our program also too, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 in the morning, is we focus on ways to empower you, our listeners, with sometimes just by bringing a different perspective on these various topics. We're hoping that these things will empower you. That's what we hope for. I know that these programs have been empowering for me. I have learned so much from being a part of this program. And I hope that everyone who's listening will take the time to share this experience with their friends, letting them know where to come and find the archives and where to come in and come by and listen to us, because, and to share with us, like Barry, our guest, and Sarah. We oftentimes get our platform from questions that come across from our audience, and we deeply appreciate your participation here and hope that you will take the opportunity at some later date to also call in and join us here on our programs, not just on the ones that Cookie and I do, but anytime on Freedomizer Radio, you're always welcome to call in and participate. So, Cookie, we've got just a few minutes left. Do you want to pull a proclamation out of your hat for us to conclude the day?
Sure, why not? Let me see which book we got here. And like I said, we were going to talk about this today. I muscle test for a book, and then I find the table of contents, and I muscle test for the table of contents, and I check to see which one is one that we need to, that would be beneficial for what we're talking about. So let me see where it's at.
Just know that you can come here to freedomizerradio.com, and at the top of the page you can find the little button that says FR Tour, provide you with a drop-down menu to find all of the archives. You can find archives for Team Free State at Blog Talk Radio, and also for See the Power, and that's the letter C-T-H-E-P-O-W-E-R. Those are the two programs here at Freedomizer Radio that Cookie and I attend to and bring you these special guests with information on self-empowerment. Also, we have a new addition to our team here. Judy Lynn Cole is with us on Wednesdays, and she brings us some really delightful information from her own perspective and her own experience. So join us anytime to share what's going on in your life and how some of these things affect you. We hope that maybe you'll call in and tell us that you start muscle testing and how you used it and how it's affected your perception. If you don't know how to muscle test, get in touch with us, and we'll certainly go over that again with you. How goes it
there? The one I picked out today is about communication, and our ability to communicate is limited, created by our own thought form. So when we no longer choose to live in a world of limitations, we can choose to transmute the limitation in order to communicate on all levels of consciousness. So this is a proclamation for all of us to be able to have the ability to communicate on all levels. So I command that all my systems be balanced in divine perfection. I am now prepared to understand and accept my divine being so that I may communicate on all levels of consciousness and with all levels of consciousness in a manner that is in alignment with my desires, and so it is. Take a deep breath and clap your hands.
Oh, so be it. Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. And see, communication is very important. If we're not going to have barriers or walls or barricades, if we learn to communicate and learn that everybody has something to offer, get to know them and get to know the good qualities about them.
Yes, because everyone has them, and everyone has their own part. And that's what I'm going to end with you guys, is just a little bit of a song that we have recently been able to get permission to play. It is by Tatiana Moreau, and it's called "We're All on the Same Side." And we're gonna fade out with that. So thank you all for joining in, and we'll see you on the other side and later in this week. Bye, Cookie.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Cheryl. Bye,
bye.
Everyone.
Bye.
I woke up this morning and I turned on the radio. I heard the same old song, so I went outside. People fighting, people living, people dying, and it's all so much to think about. It's all so much to worry about, it makes me cry. Need a better perspective, need some time to reflect it, to remember how similar we all are. We all want the same thing, a chance to follow our dreams, to raise a family of love.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up.
To bring you...
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. And Embellus and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We are going to let them know the new world government has been identified, and they thought they just clawed a world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up, speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 9-1-1 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 9-1-1 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Hello, everybody. Proof is here temporarily. I just got home from my day job, and I need to get my personal show ready, which starts next hour. Cindy Lake is not here today. She had a family emergency and had to leave in a hurry. So what I'm going to do, since I really, if I sit here for an hour and do news and a show, I am not ready. I really would like to take a shower and go eat dinner and do stuff that people do for a few minutes. So in order to do that, we're going to play music. If anybody wants to be a part of the show and take the keys, so to speak, if you put your hand up, I will stop the music and let you have your say-so. Otherwise, we're going to have music up until my show at the top of the hour. So hope to talk to you soon.
I am not afraid of the pain. Yeah. with the burning desire to consume like the flame, to know every moment in the weight of the ages, far above us descending in a million tons of rain, like down to the mountain, like the flow.
I am not afraid of the pain. Will you sound out a warning when you see the signs in the sky? But in the land of the blind, it's a crime to exist with an eye. And your dreams are in color, but your life is a pale afternoon. And the truth is a song, but the notes are all played out of tune. Well, hey, hey, Bob Dylan, I wrote you a song. And I know that the answers we're searching for will be here for long. You taught us that war is a sin and a sham and a shame. And the penance we pay for our silence is more than just taking the blame. And the world is spinning far out of control. We got storms in the east while the western world's selling its soul. Oh, Bob, I've been stressing and fretting the thought of it all. 'Cause the world that I know and I love is now dangling and ripe for the fall. And the American Pharaoh is poised and ready to strike. But dictators rise and they fall, 'cause they all act alike. And they teach you to fear and surrender. And the wealth that you give them is spent on the purchase of truth. Oh, hey, hey, Bob Dylan, I wrote you a song. And I know that the answers we're searching for will be here for long. You taught us that war is a sin and a shame. Penance we pay for our silence is more than just taking the blame. Where are the Christians and why don't they answer the call? They believe in their scriptures but don't seem to use them at all. You can't go and bomb the whole world in God's holy name. If Jesus were here, you'd collapse from the weight of the shame. Well, hey, hey, Bob Dylan, we need you today. 'Cause the freedom we fight and we die for is sailing. And there's too many voices of wrong drowning out what is right. Come sing with me now and together we'll take up the fight. Come sing with me now and together we'll take up the fight. Been walking a tightrope between fact and fiction. Been wrestling with demons in small bottle prisons. Been talking to sinners
who claim to be Christian, but shouting at leaders who claim to be listening, and the pendulum swings from the left to the right. Its momentum increases the need for the fight, like a moment of blindness and a lifetime of sight. And I am caught somewhere in the middle. I saw a president blind to the needs of his people, saw a camel that passed through the eye of a needle.
seeing eye. And when they throw you in a hole, don't ever cry. It's Sovereign Nation.
You see this thing about terrorists? Now you understand this, but they can call anybody a terrorist, and the reason is because of this, that they want complete control of society. And if there's anyone that steps out of line in any type of way, they can brand them a terrorist, for no other reason apart from to disagree with what they have to say.
Make a YouTube video.
this civil war. Won't find him on the TV or on the radio. Oh, we have the power to ask the question. We can finally find the truth. Turn to each other, sister and brother. Reach out to one. Make a YouTube video. Make a YouTube video. Make a YouTube video. Ooh, ooh. Make a YouTube video. Constitution to every boy and girl. Get back to the Constitution. Revolution, we just want to save the nation.
You that hide behind me. A chance to Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of...